Today's audiocast for Friday, December 15th, 2006 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Although you'll get some arguments, in some quarters it's generally accepted that the Lear 23 was the first practical business jet. It's been flying for more than 43 years, and remarkably, of the 100 Lear 23s made, 45 are still flying. Bill Lear Jr. worked on the project with his father, Bill Sr., and he wonders just how much progress the new crop of very light jets represents in light of the relatively fast, relatively inexpensive, and relatively problem-free development of the 23. Bill Lear Jr. spoke with AvWeb's Russ Niles on the history and the future of small jets.
Talking with Bill Lear Jr., the son of Bill Lear, who had his name on the world's first sort of viable business jet. But Bill, you were right in there with the development of the Lear 23, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What was your role?
Well, we began developing the airplane in Switzerland in about 1960. I had the opportunity to fly a Swiss fighter, which was called the P-16. And it was a very interesting airplane, and in that we were interested in its wing design. We hadn't gotten quite that far with our planning yet, and I had an opportunity to fly that airplane on several occasions and was pretty amazed at its performance, which I related, of course, to my father. And he began to take a serious look at it, and we decided that we might build the airplane in Switzerland because labor was about half the price of U.S. labor, and because this manufacturing facility existed because they had hoped to build this airplane in series. Well, as it turned out, the airplane was never purchased by the Swiss Air Force, and so we did begin the construction of some wing jigs and other fixtures there in a place east of Zurich called Altenrhein. And my father and the owner of that company came to a very large disagreement, and he simply packed up everything, put them on railroad cars, went to the nearest port, and shipped everything back to the U.S. where we built the airplane in Wichita.
Okay, well, I think we need to clear up some misconceptions here. The accepted history of the Lear 23 is that it's a derivative of that fighter airplane, but you're saying that's not quite the case.
No, that is about as far away from the truth as one can get. The Learjet was a clean sheet of paper designed airplane, and although we did use a lot of the wind tunnel information that this Swiss company was called FFA, stood for Flugzeugfahrzeuge AG, they had done. We were too poor to be able to afford that kind of wind tunnel testing, so what we did was we took their figures, their numbers, and their data, and we reduced it. We decided to have the same type of wing construction, that is a multi-spar construction. We, like the P-16, we have 8 spars in the Learjet wing. It's an extremely strong wing. At one point, after we passed all the FAA load tests, we decided to see just where that wing would break. And we finally broke one at 13 Gs. Now, that ought to tell you something about the strength of the wing. And we went on from there. Actually, we used fundamentally the same type of airfoil, although we did move the point of maximum thickness of the wing a tad in order to improve our low-speed characteristics, because the P-16 had a full-span leading-edge Kruger flap, which we, of course, do not have. And we, by golly, wound up with a wing that just worked perfectly for us.
The genesis of this interview was an email that Bill sent to AvWeb with some rather poignant comments on the development of very light jets and where we stand 43 years after development of the Lear 23. Why don't you give us a little insight on that? You've been watching the VLJ thing with some interest, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, let me begin by saying that it was back in the early 60s that we built the Learjet from concept to full certification in less than 4 years. And we did it with just $12 million of family money. It's also very interesting to note that the airplane met or exceeded its guaranteed performance from day one. We also certified the airplane in 10 months. The airplane never had to go back to the drawing board for redesign to meet guaranteed specifications. And 43 years ago, we had an airplane that cruised at 41,000 feet at 430 knots, burning 1,200 pounds an hour. And in 1964, just a year later, we were delivering 10 airplanes a month. Now, 42 years later, what has the industry done? that they're throwing money at these projects, these little airplanes, and they're winding up with airplanes that might go 370 knots. But 43 years later, this is progress, and I don't see it.
More of our conversation with Bill Lear Jr. in just a moment.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order by December 31st and receive a free pair of Bose Around Ear audio headphones. Learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Well, I think it's fair to say that the new airplanes have a lot more technology packed into them. Do you think the Lear 23 would be a fair comparison in today's market?
No, not really. I only compare them from the point of view of designing an airplane, flying it, and finding out that, yeah, the performance is just as predicted. And so far, most of these airplanes I see are being test flown, and they're not meeting the performance specifications. Now, we built the Learjet, incidentally, on hard tools. We never built a proof-of-concept airplane. We just had enough confidence and so little money that we decided from day one to build the airplane on hard tooling. So the number one and number two prototypes were all built on the same tooling that all the subsequent airplanes were built on. And that saved an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time, but you have to have an awful lot of confidence.
There's also some comments that have been made about the early Lears that they were squirrely to fly. And
they're only squirrely to fly if you're unqualified to fly one. It's the sweetest flying airplane that you've ever gotten your hands on. It's just that you got to keep up with it. And the first thing you got to learn to do is to pull the power off. I mean, you know, we had an airplane that we'd go from brake release to 40,000 feet in 7 minutes and 21 seconds with 8 people in it. Of course, we had a power-to-weight ratio of 1 to 2. And we're not seeing that these days, but we don't need that kind of performance these days either. That's the way it turned out for us. And we were buying those General Electric engines, those CJ610s, for $48,500 a piece back then, and they only had a TBO of 750 hours. And of course, those engines now are running 5,500 hours, something like that. But it cost $200,000 to get one overhauled. But that's in today's money, so they're still a bargain. But these new fan engines, of course, with fuel costs the way they are, is the only way to go. And Pratt and Whitney have come up with, and Williams, of course, have come up with some pretty nifty little engines, which is really the key to building an economical jet these days.
Okay, well, let's end this with a word of advice from somebody who's been there and done that.
Well, I wish them all the luck in the world, because in today's design market, it just costs an enormous amount of money to build an airplane, and I believe that ultimately the Eclipse is going to be a good airplane, and I think the little Brazilian airplane is going to be a good one, and I wish Lyndon Blue all the best in his airplane design. There is a market out there, and I don't believe for one minute that it's going to tie up ATC or we're going to have any major problems in that area, but I wish him just the best of luck and keep on plugging.
You've been listening to a conversation between Bill Lear Jr. and AvWeb's Russ Niles. AvWeb.com, where you'll find more aviation news, features, and resources than ever before, including the all-new AvWeb Flight Explorer Personal Edition, geared for private pilots and aviation enthusiasts. View air traffic for the entire U.S. and Canada, display TFRs and special use airspace, and the ability to provide loved ones with a simple way to track your flight from takeoff through landing is priceless. Check it out at avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast are welcome at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Visit Bose.com/headset. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Monday, December 18th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.